Hi, my name is Pete Redden, and welcome to The Way I Taught It, next level aviation knowledge in microbursts. Welcome to another edition of The Way I Taught It. Well, Vapor Global Aviation has big things coming in the spring of 2023. We will begin providing spin training and upset prevention and recovery training at the basic instrument and instructor levels, all in our 1972 Citabria ECA with Area 660 digital display, and as well as analog instrumentation. On with today's lesson, clearing. Well, it's that time of year again where there is more opportunity to hang or fly than actually fly. I'm canceling more exams than I am finishing exams, and I'm canceling more lessons as a flight instructor than I'm currently flying. So let's start off the new season with a little bit of heat. I had a discussion the other day with some pilots who were discussing items in the columns of training and reality. Let me just say this. If your CFI, your flight school, or your mentor discusses aviation in this manner, that training is different than reality, you may want to look for other avenues of training and mentorship. Yeah, you heard me correctly. There's the heat. If your reality and training do not match up, either you are operating incorrectly or you were trained improperly. We all have techniques on how to fly, but those techniques should be fulfilling the requirements of the regulations that we are flying under, not skirting around them, not flying over them. Let's get on with our lesson, clearing. Remember, I just want to encourage you because it's the first podcast of the new season. Everything we discuss here is just that. It's a discussion. It's opinion. Yes, I'm a flight instructor. Yes, I'm a designated pilot examiner. Yes, I have 31 years of experience. Yes, I was in the Air Force for 20 years as a pilot. But this is a discussion to help you start the discussions with your CFI, or if you're a CFI, to start the discussions with your students. Clearing is a huge topic right now. Recent events, three that come to mind right off the top of my head. Earlier in the summer, springtime, there was a multi-engine aircraft that hit a single-engine aircraft in the VFR pattern. Over the summer, there were two large sightseeing aircraft on close to parallel courses, but slightly converging. And because of the engineering of the aircraft, there were blind spots, and those two turboprops basically came together on a converging heading of about 5 degrees within each other, air had a mid-air collision and then crashed into a lake. And then we know the most recent mid-air was the P-63 and B-17 mid-air over Texas. And yes, I know there are some other potential factors in that discussion, but bottom line, the P-63 hit the B-17 most likely because they were unable to see the B-17 due to the structure of the cockpit. And that P-63, even if it had an engine failure, I don't know if it did, but I'm just saying, even if it did, worst case scenario, had an engine failure, it would have had enough energy to maneuver over the top of the B-17 had it seen the B-17. The only other thing that we could theorize or expect to come out of it for why the P-63 didn't miss the B-17 is maybe the pilot became incapacitated. We don't know. We have to wait for the NTSB and the FAA to complete their investigations to bring us the most complete and accurate data. So what does the ACS say about clearing? Well, for the maneuvers that require clearing, usually skill number one on the page of that maneuver, of that task, has three words: clear the area. What does that mean? In the instructor PTSs, it says the instructor applicant must demonstrate and teach clearing the area. Well, if we get into the FARs and how the National Airspace System of the United States operates, it's all operated on see and avoid other aircraft. That's both in VMC and IMC. Yes, even though we are in instrument meteorological conditions, when we are not in those conditions, but we are still on an IFR flight plan, we are to see and avoid other aircraft. Bottom line, you're the PIC, you're responsible for your airplane, the people that are on your airplane, and the responsibility to miss other airplanes that may be on a collision course with you. So the airplane flying handbook talks about collision avoidance. It says all pilots should be alert to the potential for mid-air collision and impending loss of separation. The general operating and flight rules in 14 CFR Part 91, the FARs, set forth the concept of see and avoid. This concept requires that vigilance shall be maintained at all times by each person operating an aircraft, regardless of whether the operation is conducted under IFR or VFR. Pilots should also keep in mind their responsibility for continuously maintaining a vigilant lookout, regardless of the type of aircraft being flown and the purpose of the flight. Most mid-air collision accidents and reported near mid-air collisions incidents occur in good VFR weather conditions during daylight hours. Most of these accidents slash incidents occur within 5 miles of an airport or near navigation aids. The FAA has put the onus on the pilot in command, that's the proper place to put it, for mid-airs not to happen. We are required to clear before, during, and after each maneuver that we are accomplishing, whether that maneuver is just cruise, or whether that maneuver is steep turns or stalls or a lazy eight or a chandelle, we are required to clear before, during, and after the maneuver. Constant, vigilant lookout. Well, how does the airplane flying handbook tell us to do that? Well, it tells us to do that by using 10-degree increments of the sky for at least 1 second each. So if we assume that we can see 180 degrees left to right, forward, in most airplanes, that's a minimum of 18 seconds of looking outside, let's just say for every minute. So now we have to break up that scanning with other tasks, specifically in the cockpit. We got to monitor our altitude. We got to monitor our airspeed, which shouldn't really change if our power is set correctly. Our altitude really shouldn't change if our trim is set correctly. So we're only giving those momentary glances. Our heading shouldn't change much either if we're navigating correctly, looking outside and picking a point off in the distance to fly to. So let's just say 18 seconds minimum of every minute we're supposed to be looking outside. But we're also supposed to give ourselves time for our eye to adjust, because if we are constantly just looking up for 1 second and then looking down, our eye doesn't really have the opportunity to adjust, and we end up suffering from something called empty field myopia, where the eye basically focuses on the length from the eyeball to the windscreen, because that's where the first object is to focus on. And if we don't forcefully allow our eyes to focus beyond that, we get empty field myopia, where the eyeball's really not focusing on anything, which we really aren't seeing anything except the colors that are outside creating the empty field. So now we get to how many seconds? 2 seconds, 3 seconds, 4 seconds. So now our 18 seconds of every 60 seconds is now up to 30 seconds, 45 seconds. In the Air Force, we were taught for every 4 to 5 seconds, we should be outside about 3 seconds. So you're constantly scanning. You're not staring at your instruments. So there's many types of clearing procedures. There are clearing turns, which is one technique that the FAA endorses in the airplane flying handbook. But they also understand that there are other techniques to clear the area. The PIC should determine how clearing will occur and accomplish that during the flight and ensure that they brief their passengers, and if they're on an exam, their examiners, on how they are going to clear the area. It's not up to the examiner on how the area is cleared. It's up to the pilot in command. It's up to the applicant to determine that and to do it correctly and determine it correctly and then proceed with the maneuver. So my technique to clear, I don't necessarily use just clearing turns. I may use a turn while I'm doing these things. So my technique is turn the aircraft 30 degrees of bank, one direction or the other, preferably in the direction that I plan to do the maneuver, and I visually scan the area. I listen on the radios and I make sure that I hear no one else in my area. And I also use ADS-B if it's on board the aircraft to clear electronically for other aircraft. Then I follow that up by what I call the triad of clearing. So once I'm beginning to set up for the maneuver, during the maneuver, and post-maneuver, I'm using a triad of clearing. I'm looking in the direction that I'm going. I'm looking out the front of the aircraft for the proper pitch and bank angles that I want to establish for the maneuver. And then I'm looking at the instruments to ensure that I am getting the proper performance I'm looking for the maneuver. And then I go back and start clearing again in the direction that I'm going. And it creates a triangle. If I'm doing a turning stall to the left, if I'm doing a steep turn to the left, if I'm doing any maneuver to the left, I'm going to look left for about 3 seconds. 1, 2, 3. I'm going to look out front for about 3 seconds. 1, 2, 3. Then I'm going to look inside at my instruments for about 3 seconds. 1, 2, 3. And then I'm going to look right back in the direction I'm moving the aircraft. And that's how I kind of move my eyes around the cockpit, and I force myself not only to move my eyes, but I force myself to focus my eyes, and I also force myself to move my head, my cranium, so that my neck is involved. And I'm also clearing around. I'm moving my body forward and aft in the seat. I'm moving my body left and right in the seat to clear around wing struts, landing gear struts, if I'm clearing downward for a steep spiral or for a simulated emergency descent. I'm clearing around any part of the fuselage that is in my way to make sure I scan the entire sky. And with the three accidents mentioned at the beginning, most likely the pilots were not moving forward and aft, moving their torsos forward and aft in the cockpit, moving their torsos left and right in the cockpit, moving their heads, rotating their heads left and right in the cockpit to view all around the blind spots that their aircraft created for them. And that's how two airplanes come very easily together. How do you know you're on a collision course? Well, you know you're on a collision course because the airplane, once you sight it, has no relative movement in your windscreen. So if you see an airplane and it looks like it's frozen in space, you are on a collision course with that airplane. If it has relative movement left or right or up and down, you are most likely not going to hit that aircraft. So all this is great information, but why is it so hard to clear properly for a student or an exam applicant? Easy. It's task saturation. Task saturation is driven by one simple but lost art: trimming the aircraft properly, and in some cases, at the proper speed. If you cannot trim an airplane within plus or minus 100 feet per minute, there is no way you will be able to clear effectively. If you are taught to look at the instruments during the maneuver and only the instruments, you are not clearing, nor will you learn how to clear properly, nor will you understand how to fly the aircraft with relationship to the natural horizon outside of the airplane. If you're in VMC and don't understand how to use the outside horizon to set proper pitch, to set proper bank for turns and climbs and descents and level flight, call your CFI that you had for private pilot and get your money back, because this is what's supposed to be taught in those first three or four lessons: trimming the aircraft and flying the aircraft in relationship to the natural horizon, so that once you understand that, your habit patterns are to look outside to set your flight parameters, which means your eyeballs are now outside longer, and you will naturally clear because you're looking outside more and you'll see more airplanes, and you will avoid them and not have a collision. Remember, the longer we look inside our aircraft at our instruments or stare at our instruments, the more likely we are to have a mid-air collision. The longer we are in a banked turn, for those of you who use 10 degrees in your clearing turns, you're accepting a risk that I don't think you know. The longer we are in a turn, the longer the higher wing is up or the lower wing is down, you are blocking a significant portion of the airspace that you're trying to clear. So a 30-degree bank turn, 90 degrees one direction and 30 degrees back in another direction, if you decide to do clearing turns in that manner, not required per the airplane flying handbook, The longer you're in a bank, the more likely you are to have a mid-air collision, especially in a traffic pattern. I don't know what happened, but when I was taught how to fly, everything in VFR flying was a 30-degree bank unless otherwise stated, because you wanted to get your turn done and get your wing back down to the horizon so that you can clear for other aircraft. The rectangular pattern at airports is built for clearing. You make a 90-degree turn, you get your wing down, you can clear 180 degrees left to right, then you make the turn with your wing up again, and you get on downwind and you roll wings level, and now you're clearing towards the airport, you're clearing towards 45-degree entry, you have 180-degree field of vision, and then when you get to that downwind, the base turn, 30 degrees of bank, and then you roll wings level so that you can clear final and you can clear the runway before you yourself turn final at some bank angle less than 30, maybe sometimes 30, if depending on the winds and your configuration and your airspeed. Get on final, and then you repeat everything again. The whole point turning the airplane is to turn it efficiently, to turn it correctly, to turn it comfortably, but at the same time to minimize that wing up-down time to prevent a mid-air collision. Again, my name is Pete Redden, and this is the first episode of the 2022-2023 season. Thanks for listening in. Thanks for making this podcast part of your study and your endeavor to search for information about aviation to make yourself a better pilot. Please leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcast or whatever dashboard you use to listen to this podcast. I'd greatly appreciate your feedback. If there are any topics that you want to hear, please feel free to contact me at vaporglobalaviation@gmail.com. Give me those topics, give me your questions, and I'll try and answer them. And I'll throw this challenge out there as well. If there's anyone out there in Podcastlandia who would like to be on the podcast with me, the way I taught it, and we can either discuss a topic, we can debate a topic kindly and professionally, but we can certainly include others in the discussion and make that happen so that we can benefit the entire aviation community. And we need to make sure we keep that corporate knowledge, that tribal knowledge at the training level as much as we can, so we can get the best training possible to those new students who are coming through the pipeline. Source documents for this episode: AC 90-48, Pilot's Role in Collision Avoidance, the Aeronautical Information Manual, the Airplane Flying Handbook, and the Federal Aviation Regulations.